It's easy to get caught up in serving God and to neglect spending time with Him. Today, Jeremy Pearson teaches how quiet times with the Lord are essential for hearing His thoughts about your life. Now to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Here's Jeremy.
If you brought your Bibles with you this afternoon, I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Martha welcomed him into her house. This is a good move on Martha's part, I think, right? Welcome Jesus into the house. Anybody ever done that? You welcome Jesus into your home? Jesus, we welcome you into this place today. We welcome you to manifest yourself, demonstrate yourself in our home. We pray it every day. Martha said, Jesus, come in, come in, come in. It says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. So don't let any detail of this be too small for you. She welcomed him where? To her house. We're in a house. Are you there? I hope you are. Go with me. We're in a house. We are not on a hillside. We are not in a deserted place. We're not in a synagogue. We're not on the bow of a ship anchored just offshore. Where are we? In a house. And all this tells me, even though we don't know exactly how many were there, we do know he's not talking to thousands. We do know he's not talking to hundreds. He's talking to a select few. What else we know about this is he's been welcomed into this house. Jesus has preached in houses before. But if you remember, he preached in a house one time where the first few rows were people who were not members of the Jesus Christ fan club. These are people who hated him, cynics of his, hard-hearted towards him, were not there to receive from him. They were there to find fault with him. But not so this day. This day he's been welcomed. Come in, come in, come in, come in. Yeah, everybody, everybody. There's room. Come in, come in, come in. I'm so glad you're here. Come in, come in, come in. We're in a house. And I imagine you've probably experienced this some before. I have. I'm not trying to read into things that aren't there, but I am drawing on what little experience I have. I know what it's like. I know what this is like to stand here and talk to you. We've got a big room full of a lot of people. We've talked to this many. We've talked to more. We've talked to less. But there's something unique. There's something unique when you're in a home. You're in a, I'll use this word because this is where I want to go with it, intimate environment. He's in an intimate environment with people who love him, value him, open to him. He's in an environment that he has been asked to come into, welcomed into. And don't misunderstand me. Talking to this many people, talking to 10 times this many people, it's all a thrill. Anytime you're asked to stand behind the pulpit and open up the Word of God and you look around, you think, man, the potential impact of something like this, it's astounding, it's wonderful, it's miraculous. But I also know what it's like to experience the living room. A number of years ago, 2012, I think it was, Sarah and I got it in our hearts big to rent a house. And we rented this beautiful, beautiful home up in the mountains of Colorado. This thing had to be, I think, 10,000 square feet, 3 master bedroom suites, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous place. And you know what we did? We had our own little mini ministers conference. We invited some of the people that the Lord had brought us into fellowship and relationship with. Ministers, pastors, our age, in the same place in life. And we said, you guys come up. Let's just get away together. Let's just sit around. Let's talk about the Word. Let's laugh with each other. Let's cry with each other. Let's get into the Word with each other. And we did. We had, I think, us and seemed like maybe 6 other couples, 5 other couples. And we filled the house. Not with a lot of people, but we filled the house. Every room was taken. Just so happened, Mimi and Papa, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, happened to be in town where we were at that time. So I called them and said, you guys got to come see this place. Beautiful place. And they came over, and we didn't tell our friends they were coming. Or maybe we did. I can't remember. Yeah, we did, because one of my friends shaved. That's what happened. I think he's in here. Anyway, we got together. Papa and Mimi came over. We had lunch together. And it was so funny watching my friends, you know, watching our friends in this environment, you know, just, I don't think anybody blinked the entire time they were there. And we ate lunch together and they told stories. It was awesome. And then Papa says, well, if y'all don't have plans, I mean, I got a word I could share with you. And there was not a disappointed person there. There was no, oh, really, preaching? Are you kidding me? These are people just like me, grew up in the house of faith. This has changed our lives. So they just, every one of us ran to the living room. And we sat there for I don't know how many hours. Recorded it on our phones, made at least 2 CDs worth. And Papa just talked to us out of the Word. Talk to us out of the Word. Jordan, are you in here? Jordan Gash. There he is over there. He's the one that shaved. I think it was you. Papa's talking along and he looks Jordan in the eye. Come on. This is what happens in an intimate environment. He says, say the Lord's Prayer. And Jordan scooted up to the edge of his seat and he said it. I mean, word for word. It was great. He told me later, he's like, never in my life have I been so glad that I knew the Lord's Prayer. I was like, man, I was feeling for you. I was like, do I know it? I know how it starts. You know, intimate environment. In the house. And the interesting thing was, is he unfolded things from the Word that day that weren't so much things you hadn't heard before or things that would be a surprise to hear from him, but the atmosphere. The atmosphere was different. It hit in a way. It hit home. No pun intended, but it hit home in a way that the Word can in an environment like this one. And when Papa finished, everybody started to get up to leave, and Mimi said, can I talk to the girls for just a second? So all the men, we went into the kitchen, and Mimi sat there with the girls. And I asked Sarah later, I said, what'd she say? She said she wanted to give us all her house scriptures. Yeah. Brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. She wanted to teach us how to believe God for a home for our families.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Intimacy.
Thank you, Lord.
Intimacy. You. Don't misunderstand me. I love these times. Grew up in convention centers. I remember taking naps in the TV truck while Mom sat there directing television at a convention. And they're wonderful, wonderful moments. But intimacy is something else. And you can hear something in that atmosphere, maybe something you've heard before, but it hits in a way it never did. It registers in a way it couldn't without being this far from the eyes of the one speaking to you. And if it was that precious sitting in a living room with Brother and Sister Copeland, what about this day? What about this day when Jesus was welcomed into a home and the Word began to flow unhindered by any hardened heart, unrestricted by any doubt or unbelief, but pulled on and made a demand for by every hungry heart in the room. Wow. And the word tells us that Martha had a sister called Mary, and here's the word that stood out to me this time that I'd never seen before, who also sat at Jesus' feet. Also. That indicates to me that when this day started and Jesus got ministering, Martha was there and Mary was there. And maybe you've known that all along. Well, good for you. But I'd always seen it and heard it as, you know, Mary's there sitting and hearing the word. Martha's in some other room. But this bears out. Listen, if Mary, who was also seated, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, verse 40, Martha was distracted. Well, you can't be distracted unless your mind's on something and then it's on something else. So that to me is further proof that Martha was sitting there and Mary was sitting there. And it seems to me that this was a crowded house because they are right there up at his feet. And I have no doubt hanging on every word. So if I'm right about this environment, if I'm right about the atmosphere that he's in and the intimacy of this atmosphere, the closeness of it, the personal side of this where Jesus is able to say things that perhaps he couldn't say out on the hillside or in the deserted place or in a synagogue or in the other house he was in or standing out there in that boat away from the shore. There were things that maybe this atmosphere would open up the door of utterance from the Spirit of God within him to say things, to minister things that other ears couldn't handle, but these could. You have to ask yourself, if that's true about that, then you've got to ask yourself and you've got to ask Martha, what was so important? What's so important? What's so important that you moved off of this and onto that? How many people feel like this is their ministry? The scripture tells us, be given to hospitality. This is her ministry. All these people are in my house. I don't want these people to be hungry. I want to serve Jesus. Her getting up and leaving the feet of Jesus was motivated by serving Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. Ministry makes a bad substitute for intimacy. Ministry is a horrible substitute for intimacy.
That's right.
And I keep coming back to this, and forgive me for belaboring it, but the atmosphere, and particularly what an atmosphere like that will produce, words. You don't have intimacy without words. The world is trying to have intimacy in all kinds of different ways, but what they don't understand is without words, there's no true intimacy. And I think about the environment and what intimacy produces. It produces words. And to think that you and I could neglect intimacy with Jesus for the sake of our ministry, it's foolishness, isn't it? And yet it's being done every single day. And Jesus is saying, hey, come here. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. And we're saying, I can't. I'm too busy. I'm too busy with what? You know with what? The thing you called me to do, the church you gave me. Neglecting Jesus for the sake of our ministry? Neglecting intimacy for the sake of the ministry? It's kind of like a wife saying to a husband, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you day after day after day after day. I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And finally, he says, no, I can't talk to you right now. I'm preparing a message for Sunday on how to be a good husband. Neglecting intimacy with Jesus for the sake of our ministry. Is this what Martha did? I see it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you think I'm wrong. It's happened. I've been wrong a lot before. But I know what I see here. I see somebody whose mind was on the Word. Somebody who was in the presence of Jesus hearing things. And the intimacy of the atmosphere and the environment itself had produced perhaps words that person had never heard before. But yet a thought came. A thought. And it drew them away. Forsaking intimacy because of the demands of ministry. If you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you ever read anything in there before? In the house of faith, we know Hebrews 11, do we not? And you go through Hebrews 11, and one person right after the other, Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Jacob and Moses, and one right after the other, by faith this one, and by faith that one, and by faith they did this, and by faith they did that, and by faith. And you look at every person in there, and you start looking at their lives, not just what's mentioned there in Hebrews 11, but Abraham. And you go back and look at the scriptural real estate that this man possesses. We're talking chapter after chapter after chapter through the book of Genesis, not to mention how many times he shows up between there and the rest of the book. You look at somebody like Moses, you start counting in chapters, you start counting in books. Scriptural real estate, you know what I mean by that, right? But as you go through that list, there's one person there that stands out to me in contrast to everybody else in terms of how much of their life and their story and their ministry is represented in Hebrews 11. You know who it is? Enoch. This man does not possess chapters of the Bible. This man is not in books, book after book after book of the Bible. If you took time and counted up all the verses in the Bible that told you anything at all about Enoch, I think you might get to 6 verses. And yet there he is. Hebrews 11. I went back and looked. Lord, what's the deal with Enoch? So I went back and found where he showed up. Genesis chapter 5. And Genesis chapter 5 is one of those chapters in the Bible you have to read like this, because it's genealogy. And it's this guy lived this long and had a kid and he died. And then this guy lived this long, had a kid, then he died. And then this guy lived this long and he had a kid and he died. And one right after the other. And that's exactly what it says about every one of them, verse after verse after verse. Nothing else about them. No other information of their life, their story, how long they lived, how many kids they had, when they died. Until you get to Enoch. You get to Genesis chapter 5 when it starts talking about Enoch. And the first verse, one of the 6, is to tell you who his dad was. Okay? Next. The next verse tells you, I believe it's how long he lived until he had a son. All right, next. He was 65 years old and had a son. Was his son Methuselah? Is that right? 65 years old, had a son. And then this is the next verse. Listen to the contrast of this to everything else in that chapter. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. It says the total of his days were 365, and then God took him. That's what we know about him. And that's all we know about him. That he walked with God for 300 years. And Hebrews 11, verse 5, tells us that we know by faith Enoch had this testimony, that he pleased God. That's all we know about him, was that he walked with God and evidently it pleased him. And that alone was enough, not only to put him in Hebrews chapter 11, but to give him Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, so that there might be Hebrews 11 verse 6 that tells us without faith, it is impossible to please him. And all we know about this man is that he walked with God. For how long? 300 years. How many have been walking with God 10 or more years? 15 or more, 20 or more. Would you leave your hand raised and say, my life's been changed in that amount of time?
Yes.
What about a 300-year walk with him?
Yes.
I like what one guy said. God finally looked at Enoch and said, well, we're closer to my house than we are yours. You should just come on over. They walked so long so far. And I think sometimes in the ministry, I know. Distraction sets in. And your mind starts getting pulled in this direction. And it doesn't feel like a bad thing or a wrong thing. It's your ministry, for crying out loud. And you come before the Lord. God, we got to have. I need a 1.5 million in the next few weeks. Lord, the diagnosis, can you see? Did you hear what they said? They've given me only a few days, a few weeks, a few months. God, I need. What are we going to do? And the Lord hears that. And you know what I think he says in response to you all panicked and all frenzied? He says, oh yeah? Walk with me. Come on. Walk with me.
Amen.
And we're back here going, walk with you? I don't have time to go for a walk with you. I need this like now, like yesterday. He says, I hear you. I understand. Walk with me. Come on. Walk with me. And evidently, this is what he likes. Evidently, this is what pleases him. Walk with me. Walk with me. Man, can you hear the Lord saying that? Come on. Walk with me. Let's talk. Just me and you. Just me and you. Walk with me. And he starts talking to you. And you get out your Bible and notebook and pen. And you start feverishly writing. And he says, what are you doing? And you say, I'm preparing a message. And he looks at you and says, really? Go, put it down. Walk with me. Walk with me. I got things to say to you. I have things for you to hear that I haven't been able to say to you before. And I have some things I want to say to you that I haven't said to anybody before. And those things are only going to come out of intimacy, fellowship. I'm so blessed and honored to get to share the Word of God with you today on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And when I first got with the Lord and he began giving this message to me, he just simply asked me a question. He said, Jeremy, what's so important? In other words, what is it that's pulling you away from me and time and my Word? And what is it you're leaving and what are you going to? You see, many people get overwhelmed with life and just sort of shift into this default mode of distraction. And they're trying to escape their concerns. They're trying to escape care. But listen to me, God has something better for us, something more effective, something more satisfying than you just trying to feed all the little distractions that come along in your life. I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing that can satisfy like intimacy with God and His Word. Ministers, listen to me right now. Ministry is a bad substitute for intimacy. Ministry of the Word cannot replace intimacy with the Word. The ministry of Jesus can't replace intimacy with Jesus. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that your first call is the call to fellowship with Him, time in His Word, time in prayer and in praise and in worship, time in His presence. And that's why we're making these materials available to you today. This is a CD recorded by my wife, Sarah Pearson's, entitled Strength and Beauty in the Presence of the Healer. All songs she wrote and recorded, and we have received so many testimonies in our own ministry. People that have been healed and delivered, come out of hospital rooms, children that are able to sleep through the night because they put this on. And really what it is, the gift that the Lord's given Sarah, is the ability just to take Scripture and sing it.
There is so much word in this thing. We want you to have it. So call us or write the ministry. Let us know you want it. And when you purchase this CD free with that purchase, you're going to receive this DVD called Alive in the Vine. Now, this is a four-part message all on one DVD, and it's taken from our television broadcast, the Legacy Television broadcast, and included in these messages are music videos that we air on our broadcast as well, all from Sarah. I'm telling you, this is an awesome thing. So when you buy this one, we're going to give you this one for free, Alive in the Vine. It's all about fellowship with Jesus, intimacy with Him, and the fruit that comes out of that in our lives. There is no replacement for our fellowship and intimacy with Him. Before we leave the broadcast today, I want to say thank you, especially to those of you who are supporting this outreach. You're supporting it in your faith, you're supporting it in your prayer, and you're supporting it financially. We are in agreement with you. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland pray over their partners every single day, and they pray that the seed that you are sowing into this ministry will be multiplied and you receive a huge harvest on it. Somebody's praying for you today, and you need to know that. So for those of you who are partners, we say thank you, we say God bless you, and we say that everything you set your hand to do will prosper in the name of Jesus. And if you're watching this and you're not yet a partner with this ministry, we invite you, go before the Lord, find out, Father, is there a part that you want me to play with Kenneth and Gloria and what you've called them to do? And if He says yes, then do it. Get involved right now. Do it right away and watch as it throws open wide the doors of access for God to go to work in your family, your ministry, your business, and whatever you set your hand to do. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, that we're agreeing with that. That is the key. I need wisdom. Have faith in God. I need to hear from God. Have faith in God. I need to know what to do. Have faith in God. Because, see, the information's already yours and it's already on the inside of you.
June 27th through July 1st, this summer, join Kenneth Copeland and you on the mountain at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas. July 12th through 14th, come to the South Pacific Victory Campaign in Honiara on Guadalcanal in the Solomon Islands. July 30th through August 4th, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. August 30th through September 1st, Kenneth Copeland Ministries hosts the Orlando Victory Campaign at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida. For more information, go to kcm.org/events. The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is available free on DVD, CD, or digital download. Visit our website at kcm.org.